This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Little to no progress. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka on this Monday, November 1st. Glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
Leaders of the group of 20 major economies didn't achieve much during a two-day summit in Rome about how to cut emissions.
Another weekend of misery for flyers. American Airlines was forced to cancel around 1,900 flights.
White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki has tested positive for COVID but is experiencing only mild symptoms.
And warnings from retailers. You're already behind on your Christmas shopping.
They want you to know how hard they have it this year. I think that's important. You know, I've never seen this before, but they really are being very transparent and explicit about why you should shop now, why you might not find the selection you want later, why your package will be late if you don't buy it now. And they're getting into some of the nitty-gritty of the supply chain challenges.
Sarah Nassauer at the Wall Street Journal on stores gently trying to nudge customers. A tough road lies ahead for leaders of the group of 20 major economies who made no significant progress yesterday over how to cut greenhouse gas emissions. During a two-day summit in Rome, leaders of the G20, which includes the U.S., India, and China, struggled to find a consensus on how best to adhere to the 2015 Paris Climate Agreement. The agreement aims to achieve net zero emissions by mid-century, meaning that enough greenhouse gases are removed from the atmosphere to match any new emissions. President Biden pointed a finger at rivals.
The disappointment relates to the fact that Russia and including not only Russia but China basically didn't show up in terms of any commitments to deal with climate change.
Leaders agreed to stop financing new coal-fired power plants overseas, but otherwise hammered out few specifics on how to limit a rise in global temperatures or a timeline for doing so. Up next, trying for agreement over the next 2 weeks during United Nations climate talks in Scotland. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki has tested positive for COVID days after pulling out of the president's overseas trip due to what was called a family emergency. More from this morning's Mike Gavin.
Ms. Psaki said she planned to return to work in person after quarantining for 10 days following a negative rapid test, which she said is the White House requirement. In a statement yesterday, she said she had not been in close contact with the president or senior members of the White House staff since Wednesday. Ms. Psaki is vaccinated and she is only experiencing mild symptoms. She said she last saw President Biden on Tuesday when they sat outside more than 6 feet apart wearing masks. Mr. Biden is in Europe and due back on Wednesday. Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. While COVID breakthrough cases have been very rare among the large number of those vaccinated, they can still happen because no vaccines, as you know, are 100% effective. Another tough weekend for travelers. American Airlines canceled nearly 2,000 flights, the latest in a series of cancellations, as the industry struggles to steady itself a year and a half into the pandemic. The excuse this time, wind gusts late last week. The chief operating officer of American wrote in a memo that the wind slowed arrival rates at the airline's busy Dallas-Fort Worth hub. The cancellations then snowballed as pilots and flight attendants weren't in the right places for flights. Van Johnson vented at Charlotte Douglas International.
I don't understand why it's canceled. I've heard they don't have enough staff. Well, you sold me a product. I paid for it. Now it's your job to get me there.
Yesterday, American canceled more than 1,000 flights as of 8:30 p.m. Eastern time last night, roughly 20% of its total operation. In August, you'll recall Spirit Airlines canceled 2,800 flights over a 10-day period. In October, Southwest Airlines canceled around 2000. Dell Technologies' biggest business sale of the year has arrived. Step up your vision with top tech up to 45% off during their Early Access Black Friday event. Dell Technologies recommends Windows 11 Pro for business. Plus, get incredible savings on Windows 11 PCs, along with servers, monitors, and docks, all with free shipping. There's also special financing with Dell Business Credit. Get started by contacting your Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Monday. President Biden accelerated the regulatory state on his first day in office by ordering agencies to consider aspirational but vaguely defined goals and benefits when imposing new rules on businesses. CEOs now fear business growth will be smothered in pursuit of vague objectives such as human dignity and the interests of future generations, as it's called. Insight from Jeff Mordock, reporter at the Washington Times. Jeff, explain.
Yeah, it started on President Biden's first day in office. He issued an order that that required agencies to consider vaguely defined or unquantifiable goals when imposing rules on businesses. And those goals could be anything as vague as human dignity or the interests of future generations, which is really hard to define. And what all this does is it basically gives the agencies a green light to justify any rule they want to impose on businesses. And what this is going to do is it's going to bury businesses in red tape and put a further stranglehold on the economy that's trying to recover from COVID.
All right. There was somebody in your story early on who said this is the most aggressive thing ever by an administration.
That's correct. And what's so aggressive about it is it's more than just making a rule. It's basically changing the way making rules is done. You can use this to justify just about any regulation you want to put in, you want to impose on the private sector.
Wow. All right. So where does that leave us then here? 10 months into the first year, does that mean that more would be on the way?
Yes. It's basically been a green light to impose any kind of rule you want, any kind of regulation you want on a business. And you see it because right now we've had, through the first 9 months of President Biden here, we've had 297 rules considered economically significant. That means the rule could have an annual impact of $100 million or more on a business. And that's according to the data in the Federal Register, which collects the rules issued by the government. Now, in comparison to President Biden's 297 rules, President Trump last year, for the entire year, had 261 rules, but 36 of them were deregulatory. So the Federal Register actually subtracts that from the number of rules that he imposed, bringing his rules to 225. So you can see that there's already a difference, but there's plenty more on the way. According to the Unified Agenda of Regulatory and Deregulatory Actions, which is another federal government monitoring of the rules that it issues, there are 72 agencies right now that are reviewing 3,959 rules at various stages. Now, some of them are just at the infant stage. It could go on, for a long time, and we may never see the impact of them. Some of these are very close to being ratified. And the impact that it could have on businesses could be incredible.
We're speaking with Jeff Mordock, White House reporter at the Washington Times. His story is called Biden Burying Businesses Under Red Tape, More Rules on the Way. What is President Biden's goal here?
Well, President Biden believes that, unfettered capitalism reduces competition. And what he's trying to do is empower workers and curb the power of businesses, bring some of that back to the workers by imposing some of these rules. But some of these rules, these regulations, what they do is they just make it very difficult for businesses to operate. For example, one of the things I think is kind of interesting is that the Labor Department in May rescinded a Trump-era rule that made it easier for companies to hire freelance workers. And by doing that, they feel that it's going to create an incentive for companies to hire full-time workers. But what is happening is it's making freelance and contract workers too expensive for businesses to hire. So what they're doing then is they're laying off freelance workers. They're not pursuing freelance workers. And now these jobs just aren't being created at the speed that they should have been, that they would have been had this regulation not been imposed. And you kind of see some of this reflected in the job numbers.
Thanks, Jeff. Jeff Mordock, reporter at The Washington Times. 20 minutes after the hour on this morning, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
President Biden convened a summit on Sunday during the annual gathering of G20 leaders to address supply chain challenges and other disruptions affecting global commerce.
Government can play a key role identifying supply chain risks and bringing the different pieces and actors together to address these vulnerabilities.
Biden, along with leaders from 14 other countries and the European Union, agreed to foster greater international cooperation on near-term supply chain disruptions. The leaders also plan to strengthen and diversify the entire supply chain ecosystem from reliance on certain raw materials.
Number two.
Congressional aides say Democrats have made significant progress toward adding compromise provisions curbing prescription drug prices to their massive social and environment package. Talks are continuing and no final agreement has been reached, but the movement raises hopes that the party's $1.7 trillion measure would address the longtime Democratic campaign promise to lower pharmaceutical costs, though more modestly than some wanted. Democrats are hoping to resolve final differences and bring the overall measure to the floor this week.
Number three.
Abortion and guns are front and center as the Supreme Court heads back to the bench to hear oral arguments in some of the highest profile cases of the term. Today, the justices will hear arguments in two cases that challenge a restrictive Texas law that bans most abortions after 6 weeks of pregnancy. Later in the week, the court will hear arguments in a case that centers on the Second Amendment's protections of the right to carry guns in public. A man dressed as Batman's Joker costume and brandishing a knife on a Tokyo commuter train yesterday stabbed several passengers before starting a fire, which sent people scrambling to escape and jumping from windows. 17 passengers were injured, including three seriously. Sydney's international airport came alive with tears and embraces today as Australia's border opened for the first time in 20 months. Australia is betting that vaccination rates are now high enough to mitigate the danger of allowing international visitors again after maintaining some of the strictest border controls anywhere during the pandemic. Thailand also reopened its border today. Dad bod, Amorite, and super spreader, now dictionary appropriate. Merriam-Webster has added 455 new words to its dictionary, including a number of abbreviations and slang terms that have become ubiquitous on social media. Also added TBH for to be honest, and FTW, an abbreviation for the win. Partisan politics also made their way in, including whataboutism and Voterama.
This is weak. I think it's a weak list.
I could go through 455. There's some good ones on there.
Oh, good. I think this is like a just cheap ploy by Merriam-Webster to get some publicity. Thanks, Jen. In the last year plus, you may have seen yourself more in video meetings than in the mirror. That beard that looked okay on a webcam, well, it got out of hand, didn't it? So as long as you're resetting your look, reset the way you shave with something better. Harry's. If you don't know about Harry's, it's time to find out. Harry's was founded to be different from the big companies. They wanted to prove you didn't need to decide between a great shave and a fair price, so they give you both. I'm amazed every time at how close my shave is. My blades stay amazingly sharp for days. High quality for a low price. Exactly what they set out to do when they founded Harry's. And I think you'll feel the same way. There's never been a better time to try Harry's. Visit harrys.com/deal to get their starter set for just $3. It's 100% satisfaction guaranteed, so you've got nothing to lose. harrys.com/deal to get this special offer for the starter set. Harrys. harrys.com/deal. Well-established companies like Goldman Sachs and MasterCard are diving headlong into a financial technology product that some critics fear poses risks to consumers. The service, known as Buy Now, Pay Later, or BNPL for short, is a twist on the old-fashioned layaway plans once offered by retailers. It's a story by Stephen Harris, senior legal analyst at CQ Roll Call. Stephen, give us the basics.
Buy Now, Pay Later is a form of what they call point-of-sale financing. So it allows a consumer to purchase and immediately take possession of, you know, an item when they're shopping online, and but instead of paying full price right up front, as like through a credit card or a debit card or a, you know, taking money out of the bank account, you can pay for it over a certain period of time with a specified number of payments. Usually, it's four payments. It's broken down in the four payments, and this is done through either the on the website. It'll give you an option of choosing different BNPL, is what they call it, applications, or you can, you know, there are mobile apps mm-hmm. that are also available through these fintech companies.
Kind of like a free loan almost, isn't it?
Well, that is a question that is going to very possibly become more prevalent among regulators and policymakers. There was a case in California a few years ago where the California Financial Regulatory Agency determined that BNPL were loans, and they were subject to certain restrictions, certain disclosure requirements, and that this particular company didn't follow those, so they got into a little bit of trouble. One of the attorneys, I've spoken to attorneys on this, and the California case was seen as kind of an outlier, that these aren't really loans, but there is concern because California is sort of a trendsetter yeah. when it comes to regulation, whether in the financial world, the environmental world, that other states or other regulators, maybe even at the federal level, will follow their lead and say, yes, these are loans and you need to be regulated similar to a traditional bank loan.
How about the risks and rewards for the consumer here?
Well, the reward is the convenience. You have you see something online, you go, I really want that, and then you sort of look at the price again and say, I don't know if I can really afford that, and you sort of walk away. But under the buy now, pay later, you can break it down into four smaller payments, or sometimes more than four, but and it's more, you feel you can buy it.
The risk is if you miss a payment, though.
If you miss a payment, well, that's the other side. That's the flip side of it, in that you can be charged late fees.
Stephen Harris at CQ Roll Call, 30 minutes now after the hour, on This Morning, America's First News. Hey, do you ever feel boxed in by your wardrobe, that you have to choose between comfort and style? Well, the founder of Cuts felt that way, so he reinvented the idea of work leisure apparel from the ground up, starting with the basic t-shirt. The result is a shirt stylish enough for the boardroom or the broadcast booth. I love shirts from Cuts. They're the most comfortable, most durable, and the most fashionably flexible. I've worn them with shorts and sandals and also under a suit jacket. And now they've got another innovation. Cuts Always On Joggers are pants designed to never take a day off, even when you do. From working out to eating out, Cuts Always On Joggers fit you and the situation perfectly with comfort that never quits and style that never disappoints. They're the choice of elite athletes like Patrick Mahomes, Damian Lillard, and Bryce Harper. It's not just a lifestyle. It's not just clothing. It's work leisure apparel for the sport of business. Get 15% off your first order at cutsclothing.com/Gordon. That's cutsclothing.com/Gordon for 15% off your first order.
The news without the nonsense. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Monday, November 1. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. Little progress during 2 days of climate talks in Rome. Bad weekend of canceled flights for American Airlines. Supreme Court hears arguments today in two cases challenging the new Texas abortion law. White House spokeswoman Jen Psaki has COVID. We're past the peak of the Delta variant of COVID, with cases declining now in most states. Astros over the Braves, but trail the World Series 3-2. Cowboys over the Vikings in Sunday Night Football. And five ways to donate your Halloween candy. That story in about 20 minutes. Along with usual deals on blenders, toys, and fluffy slippers, chains this year are offering crash courses about the supply chain, staffing shortages, and inventory challenges they're facing in the final months of 2021. Examples of what they're saying from Sarah Nassauer, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Sarah, what's the message?
They want you to know how hard they have it this year. They're, I think that's important. They, you know, I've never seen this before, but they really are being very transparent and explicit about why you should shop now, why you might not find the selection you want later, why your package will be late if you don't buy it now. And they're getting into some of the nitty gritty of the supply chain challenges and staffing challenges and other issues that they're facing.
All right. So you cited, I believe, Land's End and Target. What are they saying?
Yeah, I mean, they're in some cases, it's sort of more subtle. I think Target would fall into that category of just, you know, like, get an early start on your holiday shopping. But both Land's End and L.L. Bean are really getting into the details of what is going on in the supply chain and, you know, how they need to think about staffing and COVID protocols, and that their suppliers are also facing some of those challenges and might be delayed in getting the goods to them.
Jeez. I thought it was interesting in your story. You said, too, sometimes when retailers, like the ones you mentioned, encourage early shopping, we actually wind up spending more in the end.
Exactly. And that's a long-term trend. That's not just COVID. Yeah. If you start to shop, it makes sense, right? You start to shop a little earlier, you're going to still go out to the store to grab other things before the holidays, and you might pick up a little bit more and a little bit more every time you go. So when you start in October, instead of, you know, Thanksgiving, you have a whole month to make impulse purchases every time you go into the store. So retailers have always wanted you to start a little bit earlier. This year, that's exaggerated. And last year it was too, because of the pandemic and how it's influenced buying trends and shipping trends and all of those things.
It does seem like reputations could be at stake here for some of these retailers if consumers start showing up and there's just nothing on the shelves.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I do think there is some genuine, earnest expectation setting that's going on, right? Like, you might not find, if you're really set on a very particular thing as a gift or to celebrate the holidays, you should grab it now. I think there's some earnest recommendation going on. But of course, you know, I don't know about you, but when I go out to the store, there's still lots of options on the shelf. It depends how particular you are to some extent.
We're speaking with Sarah Nassauer, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Her piece is called Stores to Customers, You're Already Behind on Your Christmas Shopping. You found at least one person, though, who's not dealing with this. She's just sitting it out, right? She's a restaurant owner.
Yeah, I talked to some customers. Some are saying, yeah, I definitely am shopping early and you know, I already got XYZ. But I talked to some other folks that said, no, you know, I'm just not going to play this game, basically. And I'd rather, you know, not buy gifts and do other things with friends and family if it comes to that.
Somebody had said that this was a lesson learned from the pandemic. It was like a humbling experience, and we don't need to be buying so much stuff.
Yeah. There was some of that that came through talking to some shoppers, just that, you know, I don't need stuff. I've had, you know, a year and a half to reflect on life, and that's just not something I want to participate in. At the same time, I think probably the larger lesson for customers, and this comes through when I'm talking to retail executives as well, is we have all internalized at this point this idea that things are scarce. And we think about the supply chain. I don't think most people thought about that much before the pandemic, really. And that is a big consumer psychology shift that retailers are aware of. You know, we're primed for scarcity a little bit, and buying in that way, that benefits retailers quite a bit, because anxiety that things won't be there means you're likely to buy.
Yeah. So with the potential of not a ton of stuff being on store shelves, here's the National Retail Federation, right, saying that Christmas shopping or holiday shopping this year could be up by 10% or more.
Yeah, it's an estimate of what sales will be, but that's the highest estimate they've ever given. You know, consumer confidence overall, like our ability to spend, our feeling flush is still pretty high. People are spending in general. And then mixed with some, sense that you got to buy it now, as well as just overall inflation, right? Prices are higher, and so sales will naturally come in a little higher. They're anticipating that things are going to be pretty robust.
Thanks, Sarah. Sarah Nassauer, reporter at The Wall Street Journal. Coming up next, the two most talked about costumes in the NFL.
Today's mic drop is brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Monday. Time now for the mic drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, you know, when Halloween falls on a Sunday, we get to find out what the biggest names in the NFL decided to dress up as for the holiday. And there was even more intrigue than normal when it comes to Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers. Rodgers has been sporting longer hair this season, which he said was part of a year-long preparation for his Halloween costume, which he kept secret until Saturday night when he revealed on Instagram that he was dressing up as the Keanu Reeves movie character John Wick, upending the people who guessed that he was prepping to be the Dude, the Joker, or even another John, Jon Snow. Now, in other NFL costume news, Browns defensive star Myles Garrett turned heads with his ominous getup. Garrett showed up to the stadium in a Grim Reaper-like costume featuring an orange skull and black hooded cape with the names of all of the quarterbacks he sacked in his career printed on it with white lettering.
That's bold.
Yeah.
And then he went out and sacked Roethlisberger.
Yeah.
So he made good on the cape, I guess.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. And he definitely put some effort into that. It looks like he sent that out for printing. Like, mm-hmm. It was professionally printed everything.
Yeah.
Like, he definitely been thinking about this for a while. And, you know, maybe he had to make some last-minute additions, you know, who knows, in the last week or two.
If you wear something like that, though.
Oh, yeah.
You better put up or shut up.
Yes. Now's the time to do it. This is the time. He's, you know, absolute prime of his career, you know, the most feared defensive player in the league, pretty much. Now's the time to do that. You don't wait till you're sort of, you know, past your prime to start doing that.
Of course, Roethlisberger got the last laugh. They won.
Well, yeah, of course. That's
there's that little thing.
That's how that works. That's generally how it's worked with Roethlisberger, even now in the later part of his career, still, you know, beat the Steelers beating the Browns. That's kind of the way that works.
And how come so much was made of what Aaron Rodgers was up to? Why are did we seem mildly obsessed with this?
Because it's been a weird year for him. You know,
he had
all that drama with the Packers and he flirted with, you know, wanting to be the Jeopardy host.
Yeah,
and it's been a strange year for him. So, you know, the growing his hair out, everyone just thinks that he's been a little bit of a different plane this year, a different wavelength. And, you know, we found out now that he's going to be John Wick.
A.A. Ron Rodgers.
And we're not sure if it was done on purpose or as a mistake, but someone in Virginia won a six-figure lottery jackpot in the most bizarre of ways. William Newell of Alexandria told lottery officials he usually buys his tickets at the store, but decided to try buying them online for the first time and wound up purchasing 20 identical tickets for a pick four drawing. Newell's numbers on all 20 tickets, 5411, wound up matching the winners, earning $5,000 for each ticket, a total prize of $100,000. I mean, you know, he didn't really say whether he did it on purpose or not.
Okay.
It sounds like a mistake, just thinking that he did it online for the first time.
Oh, man.
We had
another
one of these a couple months ago where someone did it online for the first time and it was completely messed it up and somehow wound up winning, you know, a big jackpot. We don't wind up hearing about all the people who buy 20 tickets for the same number and don't win.
Yeah,
of course. We only find about the winners, but I'm sure there's plenty of those, too.
That's amazing. Man, that's just the lottery, like, in a nutshell, isn't it? Just how it goes sometimes.
None of us would ever have that kind of luck.
Did you know most of the seafood on display at your grocer has been thawed out just to look fresh? Unless you cook it on the boat, peak freshness only happens when it's frozen right after it's caught. That's what they do at Wild Alaskan Company. Wild Alaskan Company delivers high-quality, sustainably sourced, wild-caught seafood right to your door. Premium cuts, ready to prepare, easy to cook. Choose from salmon, cod, halibut, and more, with different specials to explore every month. And they offer a 100% guarantee or your money back. I got the Wild Combo Box and couldn't be more impressed. Each piece of fish individually wrapped and labeled. Plus, the packaging can be composted. Very environmentally conscientious. Wild Alaskan Company seafood is how nature intended it to be. Never farmed or modified, and no antibiotics. And right now, you can get $15 off your first box of premium seafood when you visit wildalaskancompany.com/Gordon. That's Wild Alaskan, A-L-A-S-K-A-N. wildalaskancompany.com/Gordon for $15 off your first box. wildalaskancompany.com/Gordon. Use that URL to let them know that we sent you. Thanks for spending time with us. Don't forget, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. You can follow me directly on Twitter as well at Gordon Deal. Few parts of the traveling experience are as unnerving as having a flight canceled, right? American Airlines customers experienced that this weekend with 1,900 cancellations, but the Wall Street Journal put together some things to do to prepare and react. First, before you go, download the airline's app. Customers can sign up for push alerts on their phones or text messages and emails. Alerts can let you know if your flight's been canceled or delayed or a gate has changed. If you get canceled, open seats on the next available flight are usually offered. Rescheduling can be done via an app, or passengers can call airlines directly. Alternate options: speak with the gate agent or a customer service rep in the terminal itself, depending on the airport. Keep in mind, whether or not you bought your ticket directly from the airline or with a third party will determine the level of service you receive. Your status with the airline might also matter. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Leaders of the world's wealthiest countries met in Rome over the weekend, where they said they agreed upon a shared vision to combat climate change and were committed to work collectively to achieve a successful COP26 in Glasgow. But the G20 nations, whose members account for more than 80% of global GDP, were accused by environmental groups of failing to take tangible action on limiting global warming. President Biden was one of the participants.
We passed a number of things here to end the subsidization of coal. We made commitments here from across the board, all of us, in terms of what we're going to bring to the G26.
Biden said China and Russia basically didn't show up when it came to tackling climate issues.
Number two.
White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki says she has contracted COVID and is experiencing mild symptoms. The 42-year-old was last in contact with President Biden on Tuesday when she met with him at the White House, where they were more than 6 feet apart and wearing masks. Biden, who has tested frequently, last tested negative on Saturday.
Number three.
According to a new CDC study, unvaccinated people who had survived a previous COVID infection were more than 5 times more likely to be reinfected with the virus compared to those who were fully vaccinated with the Pfizer or Moderna vaccines. The study's authors say their findings show vaccine-induced immunity is more protective than infection-induced immunity among patients who had their first bout of the disease or were vaccinated 3 to 6 months earlier. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio says 9 in 10 municipal workers have received COVID vaccinations as a Monday deadline loomed under a city mandate. De Blasio tweeted Saturday night 91% of city workers had received the vaccine, up from 83% Friday night. Those who haven't received at least one dose of the vaccine will be put on unpaid leave starting today.
Pitch on the way, and Marwin lifts this one in a shallow left field. Rosario coming in, it'll drop in front of him for a hit. Gurriel scores, Bregman scores. It's a 2-run single for the pinch hitter Gonzalez.
The Astros are alive. The call on KTRH as the Astros came from behind to beat the Braves 9-5 in Atlanta last night, preventing the Braves from celebrating a World Series title at home, with the Braves ahead 3-2, game 6 set for Tuesday night back in Houston.
So Braves got that grand slam in the first inning. I turned off the TV. I said, congratulations, Braves, on the World Series.
Nope.
Wrong. Dell Technologies' biggest business sale of the year has arrived. Step up your vision with top tech up to 45% off during their early access Black Friday event. Dell Technologies recommends Windows 11 Pro for business. Plus, get incredible savings on Windows 11 PCs, along with servers, monitors, and docks, all with free shipping. There's also special financing with Dell Business Credit. Get started by contacting your Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. Thanks for being with us. Got too much leftover Halloween candy? Today.com put together a list of 5 ways you can donate it. Number one, treats for troops. It allows you to send sweets to soldiers. Kids can earn buyback prizes, and you can even get a tax-deductible receipt. Number two, Halloween candy buyback. This group partners with businesses like dentist offices to get extra candy out of kids' hands in exchange for healthy items like toothbrushes. Number three, Operation Gratitude, which sends treats to deployed troops and first responders. Last year, they distributed 533,000 pounds. Number four, Operation Shoebox. This group distributes candy on Halloween, Christmas, and Easter to troops away from home. And number five, Ronald McDonald House Charities. Call your local chapter to find out rules on bringing your unopened Halloween candy for severely sick children. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.